project.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. There was one in here that I thought was very negative and directed against one person, and I'm not going to use that one.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, 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 yes.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone, to the Morrow Bay Community Candidates Forum. This event was conceived by the American Association of University Women, whose co-president is here, Sharon Meyer. Sharon, put your hand up if you're here. There she is. AGP Video is taping tonight, and you can see this forum on television on Channel 20 after 8 or 9 p.m. after the Planning Commission meeting, which is held on Wednesdays. Thank you. There are just some housekeeping details. There are bathrooms if you go out and head to the right, please turn off your cell phones now. Thank you. There is literature from the candidates at tables on the rear, and literature from AAUW and the League of Women Voters on other tables. So feel free to pick that literature up. There are also voter registration forms. So if you have moved recently, you need to fill out a voter registration form. There are six of us here from the League of Women Voters. At least there should be. There are five that I know of. Performing what we call voter service by moderating the feeds and forums. Tonight we have four candidates running for the June primary for the office of mayor. They are seated at the left. We have four candidates running for two openings as city council people, and they are sitting on the right. They have chosen by lot to make their opening remarks. Each one will have 1 minute to make their opening remarks, and at the end they will have 1 minute to make their closing remarks. Because we have so many candidates and a limited amount of time, our questions will also be limited to 1 minute answers. When you're doing your questions, make sure they're pertinent to the office and the issues, and they're not directed as a personal attack against any one particular person. There are probably going to be similar questions on similar issues, so we will just pick one of the questions. So if your wording doesn't come out, your question will probably still be answered. All right, I think we're ready to begin, and the very first speaker is, I'm going to call you by your first name, if it's all right with you, will be Carla.
Good evening, thank you. My name is Carla Borchard, and I'm a 33-year resident of Morro Bay, a mother of three, a business owner, a community volunteer, and currently a city council member. I'm proud to have raised my children in this community and have participated in many activities and organizations, including the local schools, PTA, Boosters, 4-H, and FFA. I've been a local business owner, as I said, for the past 24 years, and I've served on many boards of the Motel Restaurant Association Chamber of Commerce, where I was past president. I'm especially proud of my 10 years of service to the City of Morro Bay as a reserve firefighter. This experience responding to emergencies throughout the community has given me a unique opportunity and perspective regarding the work of our public safety. I thank you, and I look forward to your questions.
Perfect. The timekeeper I didn't point out to you is sitting there, and it's pretty obvious when he holds up the 30-second sign and then the 1-minute sign. Then the hook comes out. All right, the second opening remarks will be made by Joe Yukich.
Hello, I'm Joe Yukich, and I'm a businessman here in Morro Bay. In our portfolio, we have Osaka Joe Sushi in North Morro Bay, various other properties, real estate holdings, including Manfredo Square in North Morro Bay. My family's lived here since, parts of my family have lived here since the 70s. I played for the legendary Coach Sam Boyd and Jim Ramos. Look, I'm not going to fill your heads with any illusions about what I can do, but I have a three-pronged platform. Number one, I'm going to fix your roads. This is Jamaica, and this is Java. If this looks like your street, it needs to get fixed. Okay, number two, government fat. We have $4.5 million in administrative salaries in this city of 10,000 people. It's a non-essential service. Sorry, if you're not police and fire and you're not going to fix these, well, you got to rethink it until you balance the budget. And fourth, jobs, jobs, jobs. There's new exciting companies out there. I'm not saying turn this into an L.A., but there's – thank you.
Bill Yates is next.
Hi, I'm Bill Yates. I've lived here since 1987, raised five kids here, been involved in the schools all those years that they were going through. I think I was a parent at Morro Elementary for 15 years, same at the high school. We owned a jewelry store for 13 years in the waterfront, Zephyrine Jewelry. I've been your mayor, this is my fourth term, since 1992. That's 20 years, so 7 years out of the last 20 years I've been your mayor. I love serving as your mayor. You all watch me, you watch us, and I would like to do one more term with you. So I'm asking for your support. And thank you, League of Women Voters and AUW, for putting this on tonight.
Jamie Irons.
Smile. Thanks for the content. Good evening. Is that check there? Good evening, everybody. I'd like to thank the League of Women Voters and the public for this evening. I'm a 20-year resident, and I've had the privilege of serving you as your planning commissioner for 2 years, and I understand and respect how important your input is. Let me tell you about my vision for Morro Bay. Improved streets, Java, and infrastructure maintenance funded through a sustainable budget. Updating our 25-year-old general plan that prepares us for the future, vibrant businesses, and a resolution to our wastewater treatment plan.
All-ages bike event in the county, the 4th of July bike parade, a network for Morro Bay. I sit on the board at the United Way with the county sheriff, the CEO of KSBY, executives from PG&E, and Cal Poly. I stand ready to use my talents to build a vibrant Morro Bay for all residents. I look forward to your questions.
Thank you. May I call you Jim? Jim Hayes.
Good evening, and thank you for inviting me. I've been here for 31 years, and I've worked in the streets and the collection system and in the wastewater treatment plant, and I know those three very well. I've also volunteered for T-ball and at Del Mar School and for the very first 10 Harbor Festivals. And we used to have a weekend, the Fireman's Muster, and I used to volunteer for that quite a lot. I support building a strong, viable business community and keeping our public safety agencies at professional levels with training and equipment and repairing our streets, water, and sewer. Those of you that know me know I'm fairly direct and I don't really use all of the buzzwords and stuff. I speak in plain English. And that's how I'm going to handle this. We're just attack the problems and go straight for the throat. Thank you.
Thank you. Joan Solu.
Thank you. I'd like to thank the League of Women Voters for hosting us here this evening. I want you to know that I have lived in this community for 14 years, and I intend to continue living in this community through my retirement. And, well, it happens to all of us all the way through. So I'm very interested in the future of our community and what will happen to it. I'm the mother of four sons, all who have attended Morro Bay schools. I see my service on the PTA board multiple years. I have served you as the chair on your Tourism Business Improvement District Board and your Recreation and Parks Commission Board. I look forward to the opportunity to serve you for many years to come. I see this as not local politics, but as an extension of the community service which I have energetically provided to this community over the last 14 years. I do own a business here, that's true, but that's just another way of contributing to the city through a tax base and through an activism to help boost and build us. Thank you.
Thank you. Noah Smuckler.
Yeah, thank you. I am Noah Smuckler, and I have been very honored to serve you for the last 3 years as one of your council members. It's been a time where the status quo has not been an option for us as a community. Many of you have made key shifts and decisions in how you budget your personal lives and your businesses, and I've been a part of transitioning the city's budget to also recognize this shift. We've actually implemented some pretty significant pension reform that's helped us take control in a better way of our legacy costs and the benefit costs for our good employees. And we have had multiple periods where there's been taxes presented to us, either new taxes or increases of existing taxes. And I've felt very strongly that now is not the time for us to raise taxes on the community unless there's a specific need that you as voters get a chance to vote on and approve. So I will continue to do that as your council member, and I hope that you will grant me that opportunity.
Thank you. Now we are going to proceed to the answering the questions. So I'm going to begin in the order in which you were seated. So Carlo Borchard, you get to be first again. And the first question is, what is your opinion on the smoking ordinance?
My opinion on the smoking ordinance is that it will, to me, enhance our tourism opportunities by providing a smoke-free community. It will certainly serve our youth well, and the secondary benefits to it I see are in regards to our estuary and the keeping the cigarette butts and contaminants out of the bay. So I'm looking forward to us moving forward on it.
All right. Thank you. Jamie.
Thank you. Thank you for those comments, Carla. I think I would agree that there are many benefits from that. San Luis Obispo has passed similar ordinances, and there's a large range of benefits for us on the health reasons and economically for our businesses. I see the benefit as well for the environment as far as runoff and our cigarette butts, et cetera. But I'm in support of this, and I think it's a good step for Morro Bay.
Thank you. Bill Yates.
I voted against this. To me, it is not tourism friendly. I don't think anybody comes here, doesn't come here because we allow smoking. I fear that some people, especially Europeans, won't come here because of this. So that was the reason I voted against it.
On the road, it's going to end up being fees, and it's going to be tacked on to businesses. If you're not getting anything for that fee or that permit or all that money you're going to have to spend to sell a cigarette, you know, then it really is just taking advantage of a business owner. Give him something for it, you know, and that's my opinion. But overall, I'm for the ban. I've seen it work in most cities. It's not a problem.
Jim.
I don't see the possibility of enforcing this, and I think it's going to be kind of costly to do it at all. And I'm not a smoker, but too much government is too much government. I think that we should have left that one alone.
Christine?
I do support the smoking ban, as do many residents in Morro Bay. It was brought forward by the Estero Bay Youth Coalition, so I think it's really important to recognize leadership that comes from our young people today. In regard to tourism, Pismo Beach does have a similar ban, as does Aurora Grande and San Luis Obispo. And lastly, all it takes is to see one child one time at a park play with a cigarette butt, and that makes you a fan of the ban.
Noah.
Hey, thank you. I did support this ordinance, and I had some concerns leading into it because I think that it could and did become a distraction to us. We have a lot of important business to take care of at the city level, repairing our infrastructure, our budget, and so on. We've spent a lot of time on this, but I have to agree that this was brought forward by some residents, some of the youth, as well as businesses. And currently, we did not have anything that supported the non-smoker in the request to a non-polite smoker to either move or put it out. So one of the things that I ensured was that this is a passively enforced ordinance. We do not expect the police department to be involved. This is about allowing the community to police this ordinance. And there would be, if there was police involvement, it would be because a smoker wasn't being polite and responding to that request.
Joan.
Thank you. I support the ban. Just like when we were, many years ago, it seems like many years ago now, the Del Mar school came together and the student council asked the city council to ban smoking on our local beaches. And they sat down before the city council two big paint barrels full of cigarettes that they had picked up during beach cleanup day. And it is a problem to have cigarettes go down into our bay. I do support the ban. I feel that it will not be prohibitive to tourists coming. I am in the tourist industry, and we do not permit smoking at our hotel, and it does not stop us from receiving reservations from Germany and Italy. I fully support this ban, even though I have members of my family who smoke, and I think that it's a good thing for Morro Bay. It brings us back to our slogan of discover your better nature.
Thank you. We're going to answer the next question starting with Jamie. And the question is, will you fight to keep the sewer plant in the current location?
The initial word of fight to keep the... Can you repeat that again? To fight to keep the sewer plant in its current location.
Yes. Will you fight to keep the sewer plant in current location?
I think I stated earlier that I think the issue is around if the Coastal Commission denies that permit and we have to relocate it, I would not be in favor of fighting the Coastal Commission in any legal way.
Okay. Bill.
Yes. I believe that if we move the sewer plant, it's going to start the clock right from the beginning, so we're probably at least 10 years out. So we're starting over. In 10 years, the cost will double. The cost would likely double just for the move. So right now we have a rate structure of that will reach $58 a month, and that pays for the new sewer plant where the city has intended to put it down in its existing location. And the message that I receive from you almost on a daily basis is keep our sewer bill as low as possible, and the best way to do that is to keep it where the whole town is plumbed, right down to where it is, where it's been since the early 50s. And I am supportive, and my votes have been consistent to keep it there.
Thank you. Joe.
You know, I have to highlight what Jamie said. You know, this hinges on what the Coastal Commission does. This is about, are they going to approve or deny a permit? And then you have to make that decision from there. Do you litigate this? And I have to ask myself,
full tertiary with an arrangement for recycling water in the current location. The things that have happened since Perk Water came to town have just sidetracked the entire project, and that project needs to be put back on track and carried out. We cannot afford to move it. We don't own the property that anybody wants to move it to. You have to dig and put pipe to the property that we don't own to pump water there, and then you're going to have to pump it back to get to the outfall. We can't have. There's no way water quality is ever going to let us use a creek outfall. And I just don't see it as being feasible.
Thank you. Christine.
As I have stated all along in the campaign, I will work for resolution to the wastewater treatment plant issue and to get a permit for Morro Bay to build a new plant. I will work for resolution and a permit. Without a permit, we cannot build a plant. I will focus on facts, not emotion, in this decision. When you read the documents that the Coastal Commission has submitted to Morro Bay, it gives you pause about what's coming next. Seems to me at this point we're in a holding pattern with the Coastal Commission. I'm running to develop relationships within our own community and with entities outside our own community. The Coastal Commission is the number one external group we need to develop a relationship with, and it needs to start as soon as possible. They impact many decisions for us in our coastal town. Resolution, a permit, facts over emotion.
Noah.
Yes, thank you. I have been involved with this now for 3 years and have recognized the clear communications that the Coastal Commission's provided us, which have been to evaluate alternative locations and to look at the water recycling components. And considering that this is the highest profile infrastructure project the city has ever undertaken, I've always advocated that, as a Boy Scout would, we be prepared with an alternative plan. And I think we've done some of the legwork to get there because the Coastal Commission has required that. So currently we have a project in place that's at the current location with the Coastal Commission. If they grant us the permit there, I would actually go along with that, because the most important thing is that we continue forward and that we don't fall back into either litigation with the Coastal Commission or encumbering fines from the Regional Water Quality Control Board. That would be the pathway of Los Osos. The pathway of Morro Bay should be to gather the permit and consider the long term with the installation of this plant.
Joan.
Sorry. Thank you. The cost to build and operate the sewer plant over the next 30 years is approximately $62 million. I'm in favor of the site that we own down on Atascadero Road. In addition to being in favor of it, if the Coastal Commission approves that site, I will fully support it. And furthermore, I think that the consensus in the community from everyone I'm hearing when I knock on doors, when I see you out on the streets, is that you want to see your sewer plant move forward. Every time you flush the toilet, it will cost you additional money if that sewer plant is moved. I think a big question that needs to be asked is, if the Coastal Commission approves the plant on the current site, will the people who are not interested in that site be able to come to the table and move forward with the consensus and the will of the community and allow us to have our sewer plant? Thank you.
Carla.
Yes, thank you. And is that me or somebody else? Thank you. I agree with a lot of the comments here. I have supported the wastewater treatment plant at its current site location, and the Coastal Commission staff is working with our city staff on a regular basis to meet the requirements, the requests that they've put forward prior to us having our Coastal Commission hearings. So I am hopeful that we will have a favorable outcome and be able to move forward on building this plant, and would not want to guess whether or not we would have to go towards litigation. I think the way the question is asked is pretty open-ended. So I am in support of where it is now.
Thank you. This is a question that has to do with campaigning. And Bill, you're going to answer this first. In past years, the political Sentinel paper has come out right before Election Day. How do you feel about such last-minute propaganda?
I think everybody has the right to send out political. It's First Amendment. It's United States of America. It's I'm fine with it. Everybody does it. Everybody has send out.
I'd like to see the truth. You hear all of these individuals up here talk about the consensus. Well, everybody seems to have their own group that forms a consensus. I think on big issues like this, we have to really talk about the truth in free speech and lay it out there. That's it.
Jim.
I think it's all dependent upon whether I get to be the hammer or the nail. It's a free speech issue. It's covered in the Constitution.
Okay. Christine?
I plan to live here for the rest of my life. So I will be going to Spencer's. For a while, I'll be going to Delmar Elementary to pick up my son. And at the end of the campaign, it will be important to me to be able to look at everyone that I'm running against and feel as though they're my neighbor. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. In a town of 10,000 people where we see each other every day, and the furthest we really go is San Luis Obispo, at the end of the campaign, at this moment, I consider everyone at this table my neighbor. At the end of the campaign, I will feel the same.
Noah?
Yeah, thank you. Obviously, there is freedom of speech, and you can't argue with that. But I find myself, when I'm looking at that sort of literature or any other campaign literature, or even considering who I will vote for personally, I'm asking myself the question, who can I trust? Who do I feel is sincere, who will be confident, hardworking, will be able to remove their personal interests as much as humanly possible from a decision and make it on the best of the community when it comes to these key decisions they're making for us? Those are the questions that I think you need to ask. And I think if you look at a piece of literature that is like the one that you've mentioned, you'd probably be able to use those questions to guide yourself and make the best choice. And I think that's the most important thing. Who can you trust? Who do you feel best represents you? Not necessarily your personal opinions, but that will make the best decision on the behalf of the community.
Joan.
Thank you. I think that there's that kind of literature on what people would say are both sides of the table. And it would be my hope that it could just stop right here. I think those people who write that, if you can hear this up here all the way through, there isn't anybody here who would support that. So I feel that it can be divisive to the community, but I do have to say that I go back to something that my grandmother used to say to me, which is, go out into the world today and be good and nice. And if you go into the world and be good and nice, you can make a difference. And that's the philosophy I believe with my campaign, is to do good and to do nice and to go out into the world and make a difference. And I want the difference that I make to be positive.
Thank you. Carla.
Thank you. I agree with many of the comments made by the speakers. We do have a right to free speech, certainly. We would all hope that it would be exercised in a more positive way. The literature that we all receive is pro one candidate against another, and during campaign season we receive so much of it, I don't know how people can even get through half of it. It would be nice if it was all about our campaigns and what we want to do in a positive manner, but many times it ends up dividing us, and it's unfortunate. But that is a right that they have, and hopefully our residents, I believe, are smart enough, as many of the other speakers have said, to determine the differences.
Thank you. In the coming weeks, you'll get some literature from my campaign. It'll inform you where I stand on issues. They're clear statements. They're concise. If there's any questions from any of you out in the audience, my number is 805-550-6595. If you receive any literature, such as the Sentinel, that has any questionable information that you feel that you need to question me about, that's my number, 805-550-6595, and I would love to hear from you.
Thank you. The next question will start with you, Joe, and it is, what is your position on Cerrito Peak?
Wow. You know, I think what this really boils down to in the end is that this is overstepping government regulations. I mean, you know, when I've heard a lot of this, it's about putting a driveway in that a fire truck can turn around in. I don't know anybody that has a fire truck, a driveway they can turn a fire truck around. I think you're just laden these things with. California is notorious for rules and regulations. I face it every day.
And we don't know all of the facts when you're not on the city council at this point, or planning commission, not privy to that. But here's what I noticed
listening to the discussion and reading things in the newspaper. Is it a neighborhood compatibility issue? Is it about one or two or three developers repeatedly over time getting extensions that other average people, average residents, wouldn't get? This is what you hear in the discussion. It is someone's private property. Can they do what they want to? Can any of us do whatever we want to on our own private property, regardless of our neighbors? For me, I think so many people in the community were very vocal about what was happening. You need to consider that. And just because you can do something, should you do something as a neighbor?
Noah.
Thank you. I was the one of a 4-1 vote on approving the Cerrito Peak property and developments. And my no vote came about from spending time with the applicant and developer on site, touring the area, understanding what it was that they were asking the city to approve as far as the developments, and talking to the neighbors, and looking at the site from the perspective of, this is obviously private property, but what are we doing within this permit that's allowing the developments? And I felt like, as a city, we were granting exceptions to that project that were not granted on average developments, case by case example. We weren't fair with how we applied the rules, because there are other homes in that same neighborhood that weren't granted those same exceptions that the project at Cerrito Peak was granted. So I felt like we were giving special consideration to that specific project.
Joan.
Thank you. Cerritos Peak is a beautiful area. I live in the neighborhood up on Tulare Avenue and have walked that area many times. It is a beautiful area, and I believe that the property owner has the right to build on his property. Having said that, the constraints that the city put on him with asking for additional space for a fire truck to be able to get up there seems to be at the crux of the matter. If there was some way where we could get around that and address the issues, that would be brilliant, because I don't think that there should ever be a time where, in a community this small, we have people in our community suing each other over wanting to build a residence in a neighborhood where other people already exist. We should get all of our neighbors together, discuss it openly at a table with our diverse opinions. Thank you.
Carla.
I'm one of those other votes that Mr. Smuckler alluded to, and I do support the property rights of that individual property owner with respect to those that are the neighbors. And you know, many of those neighbors in that area have large homes at the base of the peak and surrounding up the sides, and many of them were granted exceptions on their properties and removed trees and things so that they had the right to build their homes there. And it is unfortunate that this just becomes another issue that is divisive in our community, and I hope that we move past it soon.
Jamie.
Thank you. Denying the project would not have denied the property owner's ability to develop that property. It just would have denied the project. The project was not a reasonable request. And as a planning commissioner, I would not have approved that project. I thought there were the exceptions that were requested were unwarranted. And I believe in the property rights, but for that particular project, by denying it, it would not have denied that property owner the ability to develop on his property. It just would have denied that particular project.
Thank you. Bill?
It's private property. I've said this all along. If you don't want it built on, buy it. The property owner took it off the market. He's waiting for the Native American tribe, see if they want to buy it. He's gone out of his way to try and make this happen. The fact that the community is suing the city and this, you know, the developer, you know, it's It's Dan Riddell. He's a realtor. He's not a developer. He's a house builder. He wants to build a house. And, you know, these labels that we put on each other are ridiculous. If you don't want it built on, buy it. All these neighbors who don't want it built on, get together and buy it. I mean, otherwise, it's private property. Taxes have been paid on it forever. He has a right to build on it.
The tone of residents and business owners in North Morro Bay. What I think you could look for from me being elected as a resident of that part of town is making sure everyone's invited to the table. Let's take the example of the business community. So currently we have the Chamber of Commerce and we have the Merchants Association, and it is said that those organizations focus on the areas of downtown and the Embarcadero. There really isn't a formalized North Morro Bay merchants area. I know there's an informal, perhaps, Embarcadero merchants area. So going back to the theme of getting together, one table, all businesses, sit down, see what the needs are. We go a long way in doing that. Perhaps it would stop us from bringing sign ordinances forward and causing distraction there. So thanks.
Noah.
Yeah, thank you. I'm also from North Morro Bay, but I think the important thing to recognize is there's going to be times as a council member where you're making a decision that might not be directly related to your personal needs, and in those situations, I've always strived to reach out to the stakeholders that have the most in play for those decisions and to make sure that my choice actually recognizes that. And there would be times where South Morro Bay might feel like they're not getting as much attention. But overall, I think North Morro Bay has some genuine concerns. Our response time from the fire department is below or above the standards. So we have an issue for how long it takes fire and safety patrols to get out to North Morro Bay. Obviously, our streets in North Morro Bay are much in poor condition, as Joe brought in tonight, and we need to work on that. Our pavement management plan doesn't address North Morro Bay for years, so I'm going to be proposing that we advance our renovations and street maintenance budget in the next cycle, and that's time.
Thank you. Joan.
Thank you. I do not live in North Morro Bay, but I drive to North Morro Bay frequently as I take my children to school. I've been headed out to Del Mar School for 9 years now, so I can almost shut my eyes and go on autopilot. I see the needs of the residents out there. I think that one way that we can make sure that the residents are represented is to make sure that they're really heavily notified and they know when there's availability of open positions on the community advisory boards so that they can apply to those. In addition to that, I believe that the businesses out there have been struggling with the sign ordinance, and I want to let every business in town know that tomorrow night the sign ordinance comes before the Planning Commission, and they are looking at placing it into three separate districts or zones. And if you have a business in Morro Bay, and specifically in North Morro Bay at this moment, and you want your voice heard, I highly suggest that you come to the Planning Commission meeting tomorrow night here. It's a good way to open the dialogue.
Thank you. Carla.
Well, I live out there, too, so I think that makes the majority of us in the north end of town. And I utilize the services out there. I shop in the stores out there. I get coffee in the coffee shops and things. And, again, I see this as somewhat of a what becomes a divisive issue. And in the Merchants Association, some of the other organizations that I'm a member of, we have members of the business community that participate. We don't take specific direction to not include that into town. I think it's more challenging to meet their needs because it's not a walkable neighborhood as easily as it is in the downtown areas and other focuses. So we definitely do need to look at our emergency response times, mm-hmm. our streets and things at a little higher level, but I don't feel that any of the actions we take as a council is to divide us into those neighborhoods.
Thank you. Jamie.
Thank you. I'm a resident of Morro Bay. I always find it interesting during public comment, the announcements, I'm from North Morro Bay versus Morro Bay, and I always say, I'm from Morro Bay. And really, we all are. It's kind of funny, but I do recognize there are some concerns over representation out there. I hear that, but it goes back to I'm from Morro Bay, and as representative, I feel we are a community as a whole. We need to address issues as they come to us. If there's a specific challenge in one area, then we need to address it that way. But I think I'd be representative of our community as a whole.
Thank you, Bill.
Well, I live in South Morro Bay. You know, I'm the mayor of, like Jamie just said, I'm the mayor of Morro Bay. I represent everybody. I go around town equally. I don't think to myself, oh, I'm in South Morro Bay now, or oh, I'm North 41 now. I'm in North Morro Bay. You know, you respond. I do hear the feelings from the merchants up there, and it as Carla pointed out, it's a different business district. It is more of a challenge. We, as a council, we haven't addressed the street
child. And then we can always secede, Bill, and give you the power plant and the sewage treatment plant. Mm-hmm. And we're off the hook, right? Mm-hmm. Go back to Del Mar. We'll change our name back. Thanks.
I'm going to take this question and reword it a bit. If you are elected as mayor or city council, what will you be most proud to have voted for when you're in office? So this is a hypothetical for the future. Do you understand that? Okay. And we'll begin with Christine.
Oh, this one's easy. It's what everybody wants. Mm-hmm. An appropriately priced, forward-focused, new, permitted, factually based, not emotional, wastewater treatment plant in the right place for our community, moving forward, thinking 30 years out. If I would have the chance to vote on that and to have built consensus in our town and with our neighbors in Cayucas, we often forget we don't operate alone. We operate under the JPA with Cayucas. If I were able to cast that vote, and then that vote could be 5-0, and there would be no public comment complaining about that process, then that would be, we'd be your dream team. Thank you.
Noah.
Well, I have to agree on the wastewater treatment plant. That would be an honor to bring in an affordable, well-planned wastewater treatment plant that both of our communities could depend on generations into the future, and that's something that I take very seriously as a responsibility. I would also be excited to be a continued involvement with this economic development program that the Chamber of Commerce is putting forward as a proposal. I think something like that would be the first real funded economic development program to support existing businesses, to help them establish themselves further and then hopefully expand, and by doing so create a climate of positive business investment that would attract new businesses that focus not only on tourists but also on the residents, the local purchasing dollar of locals and the San Luis Obispo County. That would be an exciting thing because that would also mean new jobs for our community, which I think would be appreciated. And then of course the other thing that I've been working on that I hope we can resolve is the volunteer community bus program for the seniors.
Joan.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I would be most proud of voting for a sewer plant that the entire community could get around, could understand that it's going to help to move our community forward and not cost us additional money. I think that it's important that we all recognize everybody in Morro Bay flushes their toilet. And everybody in Cayucas flushes their toilet. And gravity helps to make that go down the drain and out into the main and down to the sewer plant. And everything that we've done for the past 40 years has pointed there. I would be so proud to help to move our community forward through the work that it's done over the past 10 years, build a consensus, have everyone on the council vote together, have our community come together, and then with the other half of the land that would be left over, build community consensus around an open space project for that land that we could all agree on. Thank you.
Carla.
Well, I think the wastewater treatment plan is certainly the hot topic. and I'm sure we're all going to agree that that would be the one item we would be the most proud of. Serving on the council, I have had the opportunity to already take pride in things that we've accomplished. We have several attributes in the community. We have a beautiful harbor walk. We're building a new fire station that is key in our entry to our city. And as we move forward, my hopes are we get public restrooms in the downtown area. There are many, many items before us, working with Councilmember Smuckler on the senior shuttle to backfill services that have been eliminated due to funding. The wastewater treatment plant is a given. I think we all want to see that come to fruition, but there are many other things, extensions of our harbor walk and things within our community we can be proud of.
Jamie.
During my campaign, I've just had such the pleasure of meeting so many people and learning so many different things about Morro Bay. And I think probably one of the most proud things would be my first vote. That's the first thing that comes to mind, the first vote. Beyond that, I've advocated an updated general plan. It's, for many residents who may not be familiar with its impact, it has a huge impact on us. I believe firmly if we'd updated our general plan, we would not be having the discussion we are having today with our wastewater treatment plan. There's so many facets to it. Carla spoke to the Harbor Walk, a great project. But to up.
Joe.
It's really nice to participate in this wastewater treatment love fest. It's easy to campaign, but it's very hard to govern. And we're going to have to be very firm, and I agree with Bill on this. I'm not going to do Ronald Reagan, Bill. That if they permit it there and we get the consensus from both sides, people don't say there are sides in this town. Oh, we're one happy family. No, we're not. And we need to come together and figure it out and make some compromises. The best deals I've ever negotiated, and excuse my French, is when both parties walk away feeling they got screwed, okay? And there's some reality to that. And you know, everybody has to reach a compromise on this, and it's got to be firm, tough, and we have to move forward. Morro Bay's been wishy-washy for years. Let's get together, let's iron it out, and we just all need to shut up and move to the future. Thank you.
Jim.
I love this question. This is a hypothetical question, and of course the answer is the treatment plant. And if I could wave a magic wand and make it happen, I would certainly do it. That being said, take out your pens and write down 772-6274 and then call and ask for a tour and go down and see what's going on there. Please. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. This is a question, Noah, about business. Which businesses do you plan on bringing to town?
Well, I don't want to get specific because I think that's not my job. Mm-hmm. But as I've mentioned, I am a big supporter of the Chamber's proposed economic development program because I think that will create a atmosphere in our community that invites more business investment. We have a fair number of commercial storefronts that are vacant throughout town. I'd like to see those filled, and I think we can't just wave our wands, as Jim likes just said, to actually get that accomplished. We need to create an environment that supports new businesses to come to town. I think that economic development program is a strong step in that direction. The program is considering the short-term, low-hanging fruit that we could supply to existing businesses and also looking at the long-term. How do we build to actually provide a support network and to do the legwork that would bring in new industries potentially that look at tourists as well as locals?
Joan?
Thank you. I want to let everybody know that the main goal of economic development is the well-being of a community through efforts that entail job creation, job retention, tax base enhancements, and the quality of life for its citizens. Thinking regionally should be the first key point to launching economic development for Morro Bay. We're constrained by the size of our land availability. There isn't 7 acres available here to drop a bunch of Google engineers into the middle of as a business park. We have to have organic growth. I think a good example of that is Poppy Gift store down on the Embarcadero. She was so successful, she expanded to a second store, or Sunshine Health Food up on Morro Bay Boulevard. They've been so organically, economically driven that they've had they're in the process of their third expansion. That is the kind of growth that will make Morro Bay successful.
Carla.
Or the dollar store that's looking for a larger location. Mm-hmm. Based on our economic times, they seem to be very viable. I think that we need to, trying to find a specific business has not always served us well when it's not supported and is only open for a short term in the community. I think seeking out business investors that will come into the community and working on business retention for those we have and recruitment. But one of the things when I was serving on the EVC that we talked about was incubator businesses. And in many areas, they do it for medical professions and things like that where they share resources. But we would have the ability to take some of our locations and use those for shared resources of retail businesses and maybe artistic businesses. So there are a lot of opportunities for us.
Jamie.
Could you repeat the question, please?
Which businesses do you plan on bringing to town?
I guess it's a kind of a theme. For me, it would be my very first business as mayor. I have no agenda on what business would come here, only that businesses come. I will echo the economic development sentiment from many of those who have spoken about it. Economic development, as I've said, it's tailor-made to our community. You know, do we have the real estate for a Google company to come in? Maybe not. Economic development, though, tailor-made to suit us, to support our current businesses here and attract new ones. I spoke with Barbara at Poppy as far as a mentoring program. That's also a possibility of a component of economic development. And she would be a perfect example of someone that would be a good person as a mentor to help new businesses learn the craft, develop, grow, and succeed. That would be an example. Thank you.
Bill.
As far as new business goes, that's your question, is what new, exactly what businesses would I try to bring to town? You know, I am for increasing the businesses we have, saving the businesses we have. We've all seen a major business has just gone out of business down in Quintana. It shatters me when this happens here. Our sport fishing industry.
And we need to embrace kids like this in this community. And that's what I would do. I'd start incubating these kids, bringing our talent along, bringing tech companies in, bring them to the city. Show them how beautiful this is. Who wouldn't want to live here?
Jim.
You really need to have kind of a cross-section of different businesses, but we need to support the ones that we have and keep the ones that we have here. We've got too many empty stores. Something's got to take them up. I don't think you can actually invite one specific kind. Unfortunately, they have to make money, so you have to have a cross-section, some that serve tourists, some that serve locals, and some that are just a mixture of all of them. Thank you.
Okay. Christine?
Definitely the economic development function is going to be a focus of whomever sits up here beginning in 2013. It's really critical for us to diversify our business community. I was on a tour about 2 years ago in Grover Beach, and it was looking like a Quintana area that we have here in Morro Bay. There were two businesses side by side. One makes very fine wire rope, very, very fine wire. And the second business is, I never pronounce it correctly, but I think it's Volaire. And they make racing bicycle jerseys. And these businesses are light. They're clean, light industry, clean industry, and you would never even know they're there. They're not very large, 10, 15 people perhaps. And it really diversifies the community of Grover Beach, which is also has many a tourism aspect. So I look forward, if I'm elected to the council, to pursuing right away first action of business would be let's get our economic development function going.
Okay. Who began this? You did. You get the next question. Joan does. Joan, how can you ensure transparency as an elected official in Morro Bay?
Well, that's a good question, because I think a lot of times many of our community issues stem from the lack of communication that comes into our community itself. We have the Brown Act, which we all function by. I'm on an advisory board, and we function by the Brown Act, which means we don't group together and make decisions prior to meetings. That's part of the law, and I would adhere to the letter of the law. In addition to that, I would go back to suggesting that agendas be posted the day that they're posted online to the community. They should also be posted on AGP video so that they can roll at TV on at home on people's TVs so that they can see what's going on and maybe come down and comment on those items. In addition, perhaps agendas should be posted in the local newspaper, the Bay News, and I believe that we should invite citizens and the business community down to the meetings so that they can understand what's going on. Thank you.
Carla.
Thank you. I believe we're transparent as a government. I think that there's always a process improvement effort that's ongoing. We can always be better than what we do. As was alluded to, we have many guidelines that govern our requirements as far as information and what's put out there. And I think that just having a responsive city hall and continue to improve our communication efforts. Our website is constantly evolving now, and we are getting much better at making sure the information gets out there in a more timely manner. And it is an ongoing process.
Jamie.
Thank you. For those who know me, I think transparency is pretty straightforward. To ensure transparency for me just means that I'm available to you. I've announced my phone number before. I'm very upfront. Ensuring that the communications are there for the public. The issue about the website and communications in general, that's very important, just to ensure that our citizens have all the information that they need and ensures that even the perception of transparency isn't being withheld. So just ensure that the information is there. And from the standpoint of, if you know me, there's not an issue on transparency. Just come talk to me.
A table malfunction.
I was worried it was a person.
That's what I thought. Hoping it wasn't my only supporter.
Yeah, like, where was I signed, no?
Yours must have been
that this current government is not transparent. And I think what the tool they use is called they deflect. It's always being deflected to staff or the city attorney. A lot of times you can't even get an answer. So they muddle it down, and then they can profess that they're transparent, but I don't think that's reality. I've run into so many stone walls over the years in this city and never been able to get an answer. So you can call it what you want to call it. You can call it transparency, but I think, again, they deflect. Talk to the city attorney, talk to this person at staff, and you get a merry-go-round here a lot of times.
Okay. Jim.
Would you do me a favor and read the question again? I must have gotten off track.
What would you do to ensure transparency if elected?
I'm pretty transparent, and I'm not very subtle, and I don't keep secrets real well to begin with. But I you can call me or talk to me anytime, and if you ask me a question, I'll tell you the truth as I see it. And I don't know that I can do any more to be transparent than that. but I will give you the truth as I see it.
Okay. Christine.
To ensure transparency, I think it's important many times to let the residents know exactly how they can get the information that's available. So increasing the communication to residents, telling them to go on and use Notify Me. When I started this whole crazy campaign process about last October, I put a lot of thought into it for me, and I started signing up for all the Notify Me. Well, I'm very popular. I get lots of emails because the city does send you out things regularly that let you know what's happening. So communicating to people, sign up for Notify Me, and if you don't have a computer at home, go to the library. It's the Friends of the Library president. They'd be glad to help you there. So communicating what's happening. I'd love to see the city perhaps transition their in-the-loop newsletter to something that we get from the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce, which is those e-blasts. Now, maybe we could control it so it would come out maybe once a week. It wouldn't be annoying in our email boxes, but I think that would give people just a synopsis of what's happening. That's, we're used to that by now. And lastly, when you're talking about transparency, aren't we really talking about being open, approachable, and friendly so people will come and talk to you?
Noah.
Thank you, and I was planning on mentioning the Notify Me because I agree that has been an improvement that we've installed in the last couple of years to help put people better in touch with the operations of the city government. Saying that, I recognize that we still have work to do because all too often in items, high priority items, items that directly will affect key stakeholders, they're not aware that that issue is either coming before us or one of our advisory boards. And obviously, because of that and those experiences I've had talking to people in those situations, we still have work to do. I'm excited to be involved with the board of the Morro Bay Community FM Radio, which is going to help actually broadcast meetings as they do with the Board of Supervisors on a radio station to make it more accessible for people to tune in and pay attention to the operations of city government, because ultimately what we need is a government that people trust is ethical and accountable to our decisions. And if we're making decisions in a separate room, it's not that situation.
Thank you. We have time for one last question, and then you will make your concluding remarks. How can the perception of businesses on the Embarcadero versus everybody else be melded to one exciting business district to enhance Morro Bay? Carla.
It's an interesting question. I go back again that I see when we promote our community, the waterfront is the natural destination of visitors that come into our community. It's a given, and we've talked through the years about different opportunities. Back to 20 years ago when we had a RUDAT done, a group of Cal Poly students who looked at how we could merge the upper and lower areas of the business district, downtown Morro Bay to the Embarcadero, to continue finding a way to bridge that division. And I think we need to just look at it more globally now as how do we bring that into our entire business community. I don't view the Embarcadero as a different business area. It's just the area that our tourists may start at and work their way back up. And as a resident in the community, we shop throughout the entire community. So,
okay. Jamie.
That was a good question. Please repeat that for me.
I think I answered that.
Yeah.
How can the perception of businesses on the Embarcadero versus everybody else be melded to one exciting business district to enhance Morro Bay?
Well, I guess the question is focused around perception, but I'll answer it the best I can. And that is, let's just create vibrant businesses
into Old Town, and we're going to continue to work on that. We've been talking about the archway over the stairs. We're waiting for the lift. But hopefully one day we will have a big archway that from the waterfront it will say Old Town or Downtown and bring you up with our new lift or up the stairs. And from downtown you'd look and see Embarcadero and draw you down that way. So we are one business community. We're one town. Thank you.
Joe.
Look, you can hire all the promotion directors you want for $150,000 a year, but if the product is subpar and the services are subpar, I'm not going back to that hotel. I'm not going back to that restaurant. and I'm going to tell my friends not to go back there. And I think that's what we suffer from. Morro Bay needs to grow up. It needs to get better. The businesses need to be more competitive and get better. If I'm serving crappy sushi at my restaurant, I don't deserve to be in business. Okay? I deserve to go away. So we have to clean up our act and grow this community organically and create better businesses, better quality, so people want to return here. I get it all the time. You know, there was an article in the Bay News that a woman wrote recently that she found the experience deplorable. So you don't think that resonates to the rest of her friends across the country? It does. We need to get better and serve better quality and provide better services, especially on the Embarcadero.
Jim.
You know, the town's only about a mile and a half long by about a half a mile. So the word versus, it's just really a silly word to use. But the Embarcadero does serve the tourists, and there are plenty of businesses that serve locals around town. To join them together is going to be the Chamber of Commerce, TBID, all of the organizations that deal with businesses. I can't do it. They've been arguing about who's most important for as long as I can remember, and it hasn't been sorted out. But it doesn't need to exist because it's all one little tiny town. It's in this little area, and we all need to be friends and at least be able to talk to each other.
Thank you, Christine.
Well, I have two ideas about that, and the first one is I think we go back to the 2010 plan that everyone really agreed on, which was putting together something, a plan, a formalized plan to connect Morro Bay Boulevard with the Embarcadero. Really finalize what that will be. I know I've heard some things that are happening there, but create a pedestrian-free space, a pedestrian-focused space where we could have events there, open-air events, and bring people back and forth. The second idea I have is actually a physical way of connecting, and that is work, now that we have our bike plan in place and pedestrian plan, work to create the connections between San Jacinto and Yerba Buena and all the way down to the state park. If we connect all of those up where we can walk and bike all around town, we'll all move more freely to the Embarcadero, to North Morro Bay, to wherever we want to go. That's a really clear way to physically connect. It will work for residents, and it will work for tourists. So if we make those connections, and are we 7 miles long, Jim?
No.
Long?
A mile and a half.
Long.
From Blue Point to the gates of the bird parks, about a mile and a half.
4 miles, 1 mile. But it's pretty small.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Noah.
Thank you. I think this is important to lead in this sort of a situation, to lead with the Chamber of Commerce and strengthen our partnership, the city's partnership with the Chamber. The Chamber is a natural development wing for the community, for the city to lean on and depend on as the key conduit for the business community. The Chamber I've seen come a long way in the last 3 to 5 years. We had issues there with transparency that I think we've resolved. We have new leadership within the Chamber, and I think they're ready to take up that mantle and be our foundation to increasing the business, increasing communication between the different districts, recognizing that each district has different needs, like we will with the sign ordinance, or hopefully we will, and also recognizing that we need a cohesive message coming out of the city. That starts with marketing, but it also starts with our signage. Right now, currently, when you arrive in Morro Bay from Highway 41 or from Highway 1 southbound, signage doesn't let you know that we have businesses in North Morro Bay, and that's something that needs to be addressed.
Thank you. I have been a fan of connecting the Embarcadero to downtown for a long, long time, and I am so thrilled that we are going to have our elevator or escalator or people mover in down there to connect those two areas. I have been an advocate since I was selected by my peers to be the chair of the TBID board 3 years running to create a loop that makes our downtown district and our Embarcadero as a single shopping mall with kiosks guiding you back and forth similar to a large mall. Additionally, I think that we have too many groups vying for the same attention. We see ourselves as North Morro Bay, South Morro Bay, instead of seeing
for non-essential services, police and fire and roads. 3, jobs, jobs, jobs. Let's get back to American exceptionalism. Let's be a part of that. Right now, under this leadership, it's like a plane flying without a pilot, and we know what happens to planes without pilots. Thank you. My name is Joe Yukich. I'm about to leave the building.
Jamie. Jamie, you're next.
Sorry.
You were so mesmerized.
I was waiting for him to leave the building. I was looking out the door. I was going, he's going. Wow, okay. Yeah. Wow, that was great, Joe. Thank you. Okay, I'll get going here. Thank you for hosting this event. I'd like to address what makes me a better for the job of mayor than my other candidates. First, I would not have approved the Cerrito Peak project by granting a special privilege for the benefit of a friend. Second, I would not have changed the secondary unit ordinance only at the request of special interests. Third, I would not be blaming the planning department for permitting difficulties. The council has the authority and the responsibility to improve that process. As your mayor, I will take responsibility to fix those permitting difficulties. I will not bow to special interests. I will treat businesses and residents fairly, and I will act in the interest of the entire community. Thank you.
Carla.
Thank you, and I also would like to thank everyone for hosting this forum. I believe to do a good job as mayor, you need to be involved in the community and use common sense when making decisions. I gave a commitment 3.5 years ago when you elected me to the City Council. I've worked hard on your behalf and have helped to bring forward many cost-saving ideas and measures that benefit all of us. I have showed this through my votes to support pension reform, a lean and balanced budget, process improvement efforts, and continued support of the Measure Q recommendations, such as infrastructure repairs and support for your public safety. As your mayor, I will continue to give my time and attention to this community. I will be responsive and respectful to residents, businesses, and others involved. I would ask for your support and your vote on June 5th. Thank you.
Bill.
Thank you for hosting this. Are we better off than 2 years ago? We can't speak. A lot of people are in trouble, but let's talk about the city. Is the city better off than 2 years ago? I believe it is. I think we've cleaned up the waterfront. We've gotten our city salaries and retirement benefits in line. We continue to operate under a balanced budget. I think that we are better than we were 2 years ago. So we have a difference of opinion there. Special interests. There's only one special interest in Morro Bay, and that's us. That's the citizens. That's those of us who live here. That's the only special interest. That's my special interest. That's it. You come first. The division here of I'll put citizens before tourists, you know, I'm this speech I've made it so many times, tourists pay our bills. I am pro-tourism because tourists pay 40% of our general budget. That's what keeps us going. Thank you. Thank you for coming tonight.
All right. The city council candidates, the first speaker is Jim.
Thank you very much for the invitation. I support building a strong community, a strong business community, keeping our public safety agencies at professional levels, and repairing our streets, water, and sewer lines. And, of course, I'm all for putting the sewer plant back into action and moving forward on that. I'm attainable. Anybody can talk to me, and nobody should be shy to come up and talk to me. And I can be reached at mbjimhayes@aol.com or 772-2981. Please don't be shy to come and talk to me. If you have a question that wasn't asked here, I'll tell you the truth as I see it. Thank you very much.
Noah.
Yeah, thank you. Over the last 3.5 years, I've expressed, a natural curiosity in alternative opinions and perspectives. I found that to be a very important style and skill that I have. I am interested in balancing my personal needs and interests with those of the best of the community. I think that's a job of a representative. You have to be careful not to get too wound up in what I personally feel is important for the community, but to reach out and invite those comments. And I will continue to do that. I would invite you, as others have, to give me a call if you have specific questions at 772-7668. I will also be very careful as we go forward with spending.
Right at christine4morrowbay.com. My phone number is 305-3759. I'd be honored to have your vote on June 5th. And thank you to all the campaign volunteers for all of the campaigns for coming out tonight. It's great for all of us to see friendly faces in the crowd. Thank you.
Joan.
Thank you for hosting this evening. I want you to know that I have a strong sense of community and a strong sense of consensus. While I am a fiscal conservative and want to see increased revenue come into our city, our community and our citizens here come first. I come from a multicultural, multilingual family. I have traveled the world and recognized the strength of the human condition and the gift of humanity. In my own home, we are multicultural, multilingual, and multireligious. We build consensus every day. Finally, I have been asked who I am running with in this race, and I want you to know that I run alone for you, to build consensus for you and for our community. I will not vote lockstep with anyone else just because I know them. I will vote for you on your behalf after listening to you. I look forward to going out into Morro Bay and continuing my 14 years of community service. I'm going to go out into the world and be good and nice and make a difference. Please vote for me on June 5th. Thank you.
I would like to thank the candidates very much for willing to be. They're a wonderful group of people, and they're willing to step forward and do some public service, and we are grateful for that. I'd also like to thank the AAUW for initiating this forum, and my colleagues, timekeeper Clint Wyrick, kept us going smoothly. Our runners, Valerie Steenson and Joe Caracas. I don't see Joe. There he is. And our sorters, Janet Caracas and Lois Hughes. So thank you so much. It's been a wonderful evening, and you're a great audience. Your questions were good.
Yeah.